Because you don't get this kind of conversations on the regular, especially when it's not commercially driven. This is another key angle. You know, you highlighted all that thing. Now, the link between diaspora now and Nigeria, do you think, just on a final note, you know, on an end note, do you think that can help amplify our education in Nigeria? Do you think us coming out, giving enough empathy or doing things like this, communicating largely, you know, putting ourselves out there to say, look, it's possible to be like this. So I know this Nigerian living in Germany. If this guy was living in Nigeria, trust me, he would be a perfect Nigerian. Do you think we can, you know, transfer that kind of education and knowledge that we're experiencing here to help the educational system?
Yes and no. It depends on the environment. If it's in the public space, the answer is no. In the private space, the answer is yes. And I'll give you two practical examples. As you know, I am I've had the privilege of being exposed in that environment.
Right.
What sadly I have discovered is they are not driven by value.
Yeah.
They are not motivated by value.
Right.
Value to change? No.
Yeah.
What I have come to experience is a lot of involvement is to do with pecuniary gains.
Right.
And that points towards the, again, a structural flaw. The structural flaw is you've got a high cost of living in society, high cost of goods and services, and low wages for people who see themselves as agents of change or lecturers or teachers or whatever. So the teachers who are meant to be the agents of change don't get paid well. And because they don't get paid well, and goods and services are quite high, the natural tendency for each human being, as you know full well, is self-preservation is a priority for every human being. That preservation mode, therefore, forces a lot of them, both those who have good moral standards and whatever, forces them to become easy prey for bribery and corruption, to pass a student who is not doing well, to take money from a parent whose child is not been at school for so long, and yet they want you to make sure they pass. And because you are preserving your life, because it's key, because the government is not paying you well, you are therefore, I don't know how to say it, whether you are bullied, you are coerced, or you are therefore influenced. Because at the end of the day, a lot of them, their thinking is, nobody is watching me. Okay, I hope this thing will not go out.
You're impacted there by that.
Exactly. Integrity is missing. So that is a flaw. In terms of us going in, like I said, if you go into such an environment and you are trying to tell them to maintain integrity, I call it the 7 Nolan principles. Mm-hmm. If you go into that space wanting to get involved or engaged using the 7 Nolan principles, of which integrity is one, transparency, accountability, leadership, honesty, and a whole set of values, proposition to go in, you will be disappointed. However, if it was a privately run university or organization or academic environment, such as I know, they will listen to you because they want to maintain a competitive edge.
Okay.
They will listen to you because they need a comparative advantage, and that comparative advantage, they want to ensure it is measured as a key performance index, and that is something they will use to engage parents, prospective students, and the wider community. And all of that feeds into, if it's at, depending on the level of primary board, suburb board, or the university's commission or whatever, so that their ratings can be at a high standard because there are stakeholders involved.
Can you apply that to an ideology then? That same structure going in on that level, can that not be applied within an ideology and filtered back into the country?
It can, and I think it's already happening in some of the, like I said, a close friend of mine is the director of marketing and communications for Bangkok University.
Right.
We have conversations all the time. I send him information, I provide insights and whatever, and I know he tries to feed that into the university, and I've looked at their university structure, how they do, how they analyze their key performance index, how they measure it.
Right.
Fantastic. But in most public institutions, if you think I'm telling a lie after this program, go to any of the websites of most public universities in Nigeria and go through their profile and see if you will find key performance index. And let me just give you a few. A, attendance levels for students.
Yeah.
B, quality or feedback or evaluation report of students on their lecturers or the academic environment.
Yeah.
C, the quality of academic or the quality of hostel accommodation facilities as part and parcel of the environment that they are studying in, and as an aid to effective learning.
Right.
E, a comparator index between how they are performing in terms of the subject areas against maybe one or two other comparator institutions.
Yeah.
of the same standard, to see how they are doing and what the gap analysis is that they are working towards as an improvement index.
Awesome.
If you find that,
no,
please, let's talk again.
I'm not gonna find out, because I already know.
Fantastic.
So it's kind of funny you said that, because while I was writing those things, because something came up to, yeah, for that attendance level and that quality feedback. It's, yeah, non-existence within this normal university sector. It's something that we have to constantly introduce, either as an ideology or, yeah, best practice or ways of working that we have already experienced.
Absolutely.
Out here. And so, okay, if you guys are not running away with this,
Rosie Oski Direct. One second.
Okay. That's all right. If you guys are not running away with this kind of thinking, then there might be a problem. So,
yeah.
Richie, you know what? To be frank, I don't know how you are for time going forward, but I would really like an engagement that would be focused on that particular sector when it comes,
yeah,
to education and unlocking,
yeah,
that diasporic value, using it as feedback, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean, it's been a fantastic 1 hour.
Thank you for the invite.
It's amazing, because, you know, you start off the conversation,
so
let's have a chat, you know, and we say let's have a chat. Right.
Yes,
I don't want to interview anybody. I want to unlock value.
Yes.
So that, you know, anybody who listens to it, or anybody who says, hey, look, have you spoken to this guy? I'm like, yeah. I know what it's about. So,
yeah,
please, thank you so much for coming.
No,
and,
thank you too. And
keep in touch in terms of going forward on that level.
Yeah, that's definitely fantastic.
My take on it is quite simple. Education is not just the ability to know stuff. It's like someone rightfully said, it's, you know, you tell somebody what to do, how to think, and how to behave so that they don't violate the rights of others. So you,
absolutely,
get whatever you want to get, but you just,
absolutely,
don't violate the rights of others. That to me is an educated,
absolutely,
individual. You know, other facets,
absolutely,
and other attributes of education can come with accolades and, you know, money man work and all that. But the key thing is getting what you want without violating the right of others. So, Richard, I can see from your persona that, you know what, you have so much we can work with. So let's keep the conversation alive,
absolutely,
please. And, you know, and if you can, feel free to whenever get in touch and say, hey, look,
yes,
can we address this, or can we throw this for other people to talk on our behalf, and then we'll feedback back to you. Brilliant,
yes,
you know?
Definitely. Thank you so much for the invite.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You. Yes, you have a great week ahead.
You too. Take care.